The boys are in the starting stalls. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Stand by for a start for Moody on the mic.
Back for another week. Week one of the championships. Moody on the mic. And our captain has a runner in one of the big races at Randwick. Of course, it is a big welcome to the captain, Peter Moody, and also Anthony Mithen. No Rain Man this week, though. It's just the three of us, Moods.
Yeah, well, it's great to have a 9-to-5 job like Rain Man, and you pop on holidays and you don't have to appear on the show. Like, that's tremendous. God bless Rain Man. And the first man ever to have children and have to take them away on holiday and can't fit 40 minutes in his Wednesday afternoon into a holiday break. So, Rain Man, I hope you're enjoying yourself. I hope you get gout. I hope the child spews over your shoulder when you're burping it, and you stub your toe when you walk outside to have a stubby.
If I can just add to that, when you said, you know, the captain of the team, I thought you were about to say he's not here. And given that I've now learned that he's head of sort of content and talent and head of everything really at Ladbrokes, even though he sort of looks like that dorky, dweeby sort of kid that you used to, you know, flick your food at recess, he's pretty important. So, Peter, I think you just need to just mind your P's and Q's around Rain Man next time, and every time, in fact.
Well, he'd be disappointed if I didn't take the piss out of him. He's the captain of fuck all, and we'll keep reminding him of that.
I've just got to say that for those wondering, Rain Man will actually have a retort in some respects. He sent me a 3.5-minute audio clip to drop into the podcast because he couldn't do this time. He is on leave. He would have done it if we'd done our usual record time, which we're not because you two are obviously at the Sales of Sydney. So he sent through his tips for the championships. If you don't want to hear them, I'll give a warning so you can skip through 3.5 minutes. I'm surprised he's not here. I thought he would make the time given Cascadian's victory in the Australian Cup last week. He's been pushing Cascadian for fucking years. And as a 9-year-old, he's come out and he's beaten Brightside, Pride of Jenny. And I've got to say, A, good on him. I was at a wedding. I had my best mate's wedding last Friday, and I may have misplaced one of the rings as best man. Probably won't get the job again, but he wouldn't get married again. Anyway, we're having a recovery session on the Saturday, and I put a quaddy on for myself, my best mate, his brothers, and his dad. And the only reason I put Cascadian into the quaddy was because I couldn't bear the thought of not putting in and winning. And sure enough, we got the quaddy. So it was a very nice recovery session there on the Saturday. Free piss and a quaddy win. Moods Orchestral wasn't a dominant winner in the Vinery, but like a champion, she did what was needed. Gutsy Group 1 win. Autumn Angel didn't take her place in that race. Everything right with her? And also, what were your thoughts on Orchestral, the champ from New Zealand?
Oh, listen, Orchestral looked a winner, didn't she? Looked like she was in a bit of trouble halfway down the straight when the leader kicked, but like good horses do, she dug deep and got the job done. Wasn't sparkling, wasn't brilliant, probably wasn't that of a $1.50 favourite, but she won, and she's obviously a very good filly and deserved favourite of the Oaks. Is she an odds-on shot? I'm not sure. On the case of Autumn Angel, unfortunately, she gave a leg a bump on the trip up. We were confident that she was right to take a place. Vets didn't agree with us. We respected their decision, and she'll take her place in the Adrian Knox here on Saturday after being withdrawn late there on Saturday. And hopefully she can come through that with flying colours and maybe get the opportunity to take Orchestral on in the ATC Oaks or ATC Oaks at Randwick on Saturday week.
And judging by the form that Wiley Dalziel Racing and the Peter Moody in turn, and also Stokesy as well, Savannah Cloud, the form that Wiley's mob are in at the moment, you'd think she's a chance to win bloody anything. He is flying.
Yeah, he's having a bit of a trot out, mate, Wiley Dalziel. Like you said, he won the big $500,000 race at Yarra Valley on Friday, and with a horse I played a part in purchasing with him, so I'll just give myself a little pat on the back there. And Mytho and I and Wiley galloped home strongly for third with our old evergreen mate Pounding, who ran super in that race also. It was great to see him to return so well. So,
which you did actually tip here at 20 to – you tipped each way Pounding last week, Moods, and $8 the drum.
Mm.
And you also gave it a push, Mytho, but Moods actually did tip it too. You both did. It's all right. I know. Sorry, for those – for those listening wondering what I'm gibbering on about here, Mitho's pointing himself like, hey, give me some credit. Get around me.
I think Moods had forgotten that Pownie was running on Friday, given how many runs he had on Saturday, and I just had to throw it in there that the old bloke was first up, 1,200. Moods was, he was confident enough, gave it a good push. We only got half a head.
Yeah, no, it was a good run. And what do we? You go back to Cascadian there. What do we read into that? 9-year-old Australia Cup. He's been an evergreen performer for 4 or 5 seasons now. Prior to Jenny was super at that run at 1.25 miles. Mr. Brightside was probably ridden to beat prior to Jenny. And no, not taking a pot shot at Willow there. Obviously pressure probably from connections somewhat after he got back in the All-Star Mile and he ran home strong. They chased prior to Jenny and it brought him about getting undone. But where does that leave our 1.25 mile horses at the moment? And then we saw the horse of Lloyd Williams, its name just escapes me, get panelled as a dollar short price favourite anyhow in the Tancred.
Post-impressionist.
Yeah, by a 33-1 shot.
Zaki retired during the week as well. There's another one sort of falling off the perch.
Is there going to be a 3-year-old that can put his hand up in the Queen Elizabeth? So let's be honest, at 2,000 metres, our ranks are probably pretty dry. And being fair dinkum, Pride and Jenny and Mr. Brightside are both top-class milers that probably run a soft 2,000 at this point. If you put on a pair of galoshes and pushed a wheelbarrow, you'd be half a chance and you'd start under each-way odds in the Queen Elizabeth.
Well, it's interesting, Moods, just on that, the Ladbrokes market for the Ladbrokes Cox Plate, which probably gives us the best indication of those horses around that. Romantic Warrior at $6. Via Sistina, of course, the import for Yulong, $6. Fangirl, $9. Place de Carousel, anyone? Not me, don't know.
I've probably got to say there, I forgot about Via Sistina's win last week. Well, she probably wins the Queen Elizabeth by half the length of the straight if she can back that performance up.
But it just it highlights your point. That market highlights your point, Moods, that we are lacking for those quality middle distance weight for age style horses, and hopefully there's a few in the market. Militarize is in the Ladbrokes Cox Plate market. Orchestral, of course. There's a couple of others if you sort of go down the list. Tom Kitten, Riff Rocket. They're the horses that need to now step up and be our next generation for us to have heroes to cheer.
Yeah, and just driving home from the sales complex this afternoon, listening to Doncast and that a year's gone by, Grand Army beating Dash for Cash and Lonro and the likes. God, how much do we miss the greats of the turf like the Ingham family and that race their end tires on, your Lonros and your Octagonals and that. That raced on at 4 and 5. They were racing purists that loved their racing, and then they sent them to stud. Now we have these commercial operations that want to run them off to stud at 3, charge $100,000 a service fee if they've won a Pox Group 1 on a heavy track as a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. And our middle distance, mile, 2,000-metre ranks, are piss weak. Piss weak. Disgraceful. I wish I had one good enough, but I haven't. But our ranks are piss weak.
Hey, Rog, I don't reckon he's any chance to get an order from Coolmore or Arrowfield this week at the Sydney Easter sales, I can tell you that much after that little rant.
Well, so be it. I think it's factual. They run them off the stud, cover 250 mares their first season, get a Northern Hemisphere deal if they can, and they're not the only operations that do it.
Probably the exception to that rule is Dali here in Australia. They will race one on. Animo ran second in a...
Animo raced, yeah, till he was 5.
Yeah. So, I suppose when you just have to drill another hole in the ground and get that black gold out and you're the ruler of Dubai, you can do whatever you want. So life's pretty good when you're king.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker. See where the big bets land in real time. Yard Comment, giving you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring. And Black Book, add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. Ladbrokers. What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
A big day, Group 1 racing at Randwick. As we mentioned, we're going to preview four races. We'll do it quick because Rainman's not here. As mentioned, his tips will come, but the podcast always goes a little bit quicker when one of Rainman or Mytho isn't here.
Just before you go on there, just bear in mind, punters, that there's a deluge of rain forecast for Sydney late Thursday, Friday, and even Saturday. First day of the championships, the biggest week of racing in, or couple of weeks of racing in Sydney. Now, I've got no inside mail or no intel to this, but if it comes up a swamp at Randwick on Saturday, I reckon Racing New South Wales will have a something in place to possibly push the championships all back 1 week, because having a look through the racing calendar, in 3 weeks' time at Rose Hill, there's a benchmark meeting. So I reckon there's a case there. If it ends up a shit fight at Randwick on Saturday, all racing could be pushed back 1 week. They did it 4 or 5 years ago. Peter Vlandis isn't afraid to make these big calls as an administrator, and I reckon they wouldn't want to destroy this track. So just be mindful of that. And if we do race on wet ground, be mindful of that also, punters.
I reckon we were involved. We had Volkstock and Barrel running in the Derby that year of the deluge, going back that 4 or 5 years you talk of, Moods. And they actually pushed it to the Monday from memory, because it was a mad scramble to get corporate hospitality and sort things out, and it kept things on track. So, yeah, we might be talking about hypotheticals, but and it looks beautiful out the window as we speak. But, yeah, they are saying Armageddon's on its way.
That wasn't 4 or 5 years ago. That was 9 years ago.
Was it really? Yeah.
I reckon that was 2015 when that happened, and it pushed to Easter Monday. But they're not used to a bit of they're no stranger to a bit of rain at the championships. But interesting moods, because, you know, I think all racing fans would like to see it pushed if we are racing and watch it all, you know, great races on a bog heap. Let's start with the size and the market for this one, and that does have Storm Boy. Well, you know, there's an open bet if you've ever heard one. $2.50 favourite for the size. Lady Comalot, the Golden Slipper winner. Oh, the filly. $3.80 second away, $7 Manal, $8.50 for Coleman, and also Traffic Warden, and then double figure odds for the rest of them. I'll kick off with my thoughts. Obviously, they were disappointed that Storm Boy didn't win the Golden Slipper, but look, that race can be a curse sometimes. We speak of the Slipper curse. Let's take the next Group 1 on offer. We are looking at a bog-heavy track potentially, as Mood said, and Storm Boy's side Justify love the slop. He won a Kentucky Derby on a wet track, so I would suggest, even though he hasn't seen a heavy track as yet, he would handle it. That combined with his class, step up in distance, should suit to 1,400 metres. I think it all sort of works in his favour, but still, I don't want to be taking $2.50 about anyone, let alone a two-year-old, on a bottomless track. So I'd be playing it very, very carefully, maybe have it in the odd multi, but I'd be going too hard. But I do, for the sake of a tip, I think Storm Boy will be winning. Mytho.
So many unknowns. You talk about the weather and who's going to handle a wet track, if that's indeed what we get. But also, which horse is most likely to handle the step up to 1,400, given that most of these haven't? For that fact, I'm going to play some value in this race. I'm going to back Traffic Warden each way at the $8.50, proven at the 1,400, won the VRC size produce 1,400 metre race. And I'm also going to back Coleman at $8.50 each way, because he presents as the horse, in my mind, from just looking at him and his pedigree and where he sits, he's going to make a beautiful three-year-old miler in the spring. That this race is often won by that style of horse. So at $8.50 each of two, I'm going to back Traffic Warden and Coleman.
Well, I'm sticking with the Ferrisex. Everyone's been rapping the colts all year. The fillies have won the Blue Diamond and the Golden Slipper. And I think Lady Camelot was super in the Slipper. And Manal, along with my filly at home, Anisa, I think were probably nearly the next best two runs in the race. So for that reason, I'm sticking with the fillies down the bottom. 9, Lady Camelot. 10, Manal. Whatever handles the track better. 10, 9, 9, 10. I think the fillies are better than the colts. I'll make that statement. They've proven it. They've won the two group ones thus far, and I think it'll continue on Saturday with either of those fillies. Mix them up, box them up, however you like.
The TJ Smith Stakes is race 7 on the program. 1,200 metre Group 1, the reigning champion is I Wish I Win. He is second elect in the market. $3.60 out to $4. Imperatrix, $3 out to $3.40 is your favourite. $8.50 to $8 for Sunshine in Paris. Bella Nipotina is $13. Money for Mizzou, the big market mover since Buckets went up earlier today. It being Wednesday, we record this. $26 into $16. Espiona, $16, as well as Magic Time and Half Cavern, $19, $20 or more for the rest. Look, we know I Wish I Win handles a heavy track because he won this race on a glue pot last year. So if it does go ahead, you would think that he certainly, you know, has the runs on the board. Imperatrix has good form and a heavy as well, but she isn't quite near the sort of peak we saw her at in the spring, as we've discussed here over the last couple of months. And I don't think she's taken on a field of this quality. I wouldn't rule out Bella Nipotina at a big price in the wet, but I do think it'll be a battle between the two favourites, I Wish I Win and Imperatrix. Obviously, I'm going to side with Moody Racing.
Yeah, look, I just can't go past Imperatrix. I don't know what Moods has got up his sleeve. We haven't seen I Wish I Win yet. If it is a testing sort of track, is that going to play a part in I Wish I Win? You know, gutbuster on a wet track first up. Whereas Imperatrix, she's just been campaigning very sweetly through the autumn. Got beaten, obviously, in the handicap at handicap conditions two starts ago, but bounced back the William Reid, and has taken all before her. So Imperatrix at the $3.40, I really like the odds. I like a wet track form. I like the way this is shaping up for Imperatrix.
I've been in Imperatrix's corner all season, as you're well aware, and I think she's a dead set gun, but I don't think she's a gun the Sydney way of going, and I don't think she's a gun on wet tracks. Part of a wet track form has been maiden form, restricted form, low-grade form in New Zealand. I'm Invincibles traditionally do not appreciate soft ground. So I'm a pot on the favourite. Is my horse I Wish I Win going well enough to win? I believe he is. Obviously, testing ground and conditions first up will, it'll be a bit of a struggle. He's going to need a conservative run, but I think he's going well enough to win. I'm a pot Imperatrix for the first time since I've seen her in Australia under the conditions and what presents. I Wish I Win. Listen, he's got to be vulnerable. Let's be serious. He's having his first run for 5 months. He hasn't had an extended break. He had minor knee surgery post his run on the Everest. That's not a secret. He's had a good long build-up. He's had two solid trials. He will improve with the run, but I reckon when you see him in the yard Saturday, you'll be pretty taken with his condition. I think he'll give you a hell of a sight. Of the wet trackers, if it does really present, obviously Marzu and Bella Nipotina come to the fore. Even my other mare, Chain of Lightning, loves it soft and rock hard and fit. Magic Time loves it soft. You know, if it presents heavy, the answer's a pineapple, but I'm against the favourite under the conditions that do present. So, listen, I can't tip you I Wish I Win, but I'll be very surprised if he's not right in the mix, team.
All right, the Doncaster Handicap is the Mar V. Waller Show. This is, there are other trainers with runners, but it's absolutely Mar and Waller dominate the runners here. It is race 8 on the program, and another wheel for Kieran Mar. $3.80 into $3.60 is your favourite. Celestial Legend, $8, $9 for Obenburamai. I have no idea if I pronounced that correctly. $10 for Lady Laguna in from 12s, loves soft track. Millis Rise, 11s out to 14s. Zugotch is at $15, $16 South Point Tycoon. Lindemann, $17, $18 for Think About It. Detonated Jack 18, and check the odds for the rest of them. I am very cautious here. Another wheel had Doncaster winner on a lightweight ridden all over him for a while, and I think the conditions should play into his favour. He has seen and run well on heavy ground before, but whether it's as heavy as what we might cop on Saturday, who knows? I imagine he will get through that, and given he's not carrying a lot of weight, I want to be with him. Probably want a bit more than $3.60, though. If Hinged, currently second emergency, at 80-1, gets in the field, she's a Group 1 winner on a heavy 10, I think she can run a cheeky race at those odds. And if you back her now, before she's in the field, and she doesn't get a run, you get your money back, And if it does, you've got 80-1 about Hinge. So as an absolute blowout chance, I think Hinge is worth a couple of bucks. And but I'm with another Will, the favourite. But, geez, what a race this presents as, Mitho.
Oh, it's an unbelievable race. So open. And really, you need 10 picks to try and make sure you get the winner. I'm going with old mate from Japan. It was dominant in the Golden Eagle. And just came and blew us away. I think he might be a very smart horse. Amazing the way the Japanese do this. He's a four-year-old stallion. He's had six lifetime starts. He's won four of them. He's yet to win a Group 1, but he's a Group 2 winner back in Japan, and he's a Golden Eagle winner, and he's banked $6.5 million in prize money out of six runs. It's unbelievable, isn't it? So... I'll have a go at it. Obamburu Maya. Is that it?
Maya, I reckon.
Maya.
I don't know, but I'm just writing that on.
What about if we're going to Mooks for pronunciation, we're in dead set strife, I would have thought.
I'll make Obama to win it.
Yeah. Nah, well, listen, I'm with you there. Obamburu Maya. if I see he's had one run on soft for a win, which is very unusual for a Japanese horse to have soft track form. They usually run on roads over there, so no idea. But if he does handle prevailing conditions that might present, he's certainly got to be the horse to beat. Another Will, I respect that he's a lightweight horse in great form, but he's got to go to a whole new level again, and he's got to do it on a seven-day backup and possibly under testing conditions. I think the Waller pair, Militarize and Zugotcha, are the dangers to the Japanese horse. Militarize has run well all season. He's in good order, and Zugotcha unbeaten this preparation. I think they're really the two to beat. Where's J-Mac? What's he doing? He's watching this race. What's going on there?
He actually, I'm just scrolling through. Yeah, it doesn't look like he does have a ride in this, which is incredible.
Well, maybe the
20 starters.
Yeah, well, obviously the 54 of Militarize is below J-Mac's conditions at the moment. Crikey. We've got the country's best rider sitting in the room watching 20 go round in a $4 million race. Funny thing.
Only three horses got his weight, though.
Yeah, exactly. Well, credit where credit's due to the Racing New South Wales handicappers as well. And I'm not – well, I am having a little shot at the Victorian handicappers. When we have a handicap in Victoria – they're nearly all quality handicappers this day and age. They dead set invite the top weights to run, and the bottom weights, instead of having 50 and 51, they've got 54. They cater and pander to the jockeys. Where Racing New South Wales, at least they still run handicaps. 57 top weight, 49 bottom weight, and you even go to the three-year-old fillies race where I thought my filly... Autumn Angel, she's got 61 and the bottom weight's got 53. In Melbourne on Saturday, they've got about a 3 or 4 kilo spread in most of the races. They run them as quality handicaps. They call them handicaps, which is total bullshit. They're actually quality handicaps, and they invite the top weights to run and they don't give an even spread of the rates and give the bottom weights a chance. But in Sydney, congratulations to them. They do seem to genuinely still run genuine handicaps and have a bit of a spread at the weights. And hence, J-Mac hasn't got a ride. So, yep, 2, 4, and 5 for me. J-Mac watching it from the room.
That's about the third compliment you've paid to New South Wales Racing in the last 20 minutes, Moose. So I'm concerned that you've been got to. But anyway, we'll move on. Not a conspiracy at all.
He's opening new training facilities at Goulburn as well, they tell me.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to call for a deep dive investigation out of this one. Let's go to the ATC Australian Derby, and we see Riff Rocket as a $2.90 favourite in from $3.30, so good early money. There's Dozy $3.80 out from $3.40, $7 to $7.50 for Tom Kitten, Tom Cat, as some will say, Wymark $8.50, $9.50 for Seal, a Wolf, and then double figures or more for the rest of them. I found this one a really tough race as well, but I do think the market's got it right in that we'll see Riff Rocket and Zardozi fight it out. Zardozi wasn't too far off Orchestral last week. You'd think she'll prefer the longer trip and is adept in the wet. She's one-on-one on a heavy, albeit not in a race of this quality. Riff Rocket's been handy on soft, so you'd suggest he'll get through it okay too. But I think they look the clear best two horses. And Mood said about siding with the females a little bit earlier, and I think I might do the same in this race. I'm going to go with Sardozy. So Sardozy for me in the ATC Derby.
Yeah, it's the race really for Riff Rocket to lose. He looks like a genuine star. We talked about those middle distance weight for age sort of horses and the lack thereof. He's one that has got the flashing light all over him, as well as Sardozy. They probably fight out the finish. I see Weimark's got some good wet track form, has started the wet five times for three victories. So, albeit Peter made a good point about Imperatrice at a lower level rather than this sort of Group One mark. So, Weimark in for your multiples. Drawn wide, you're probably going to be wanting to get off the track by that stage, so that's not going to be a problem. But Riff Rocket's drawn 10 as well, so he should get the perfect run with James McDonald back in the saddle after having a race off in the Doncaster.
I tipped Tom Kitten to beat Riff Rocket the other day, and I need to give myself a good uppercut after you and I tipped him first up, Mitho, and then we tipped him second up and in the Australian Guineas and then dropped off him. So I need to give myself a good smack on the back of the head. I'm back with Riff Rocket. He was very good the other day. I think he'll be too good for the filly Sardozy. I think they've got a fair bit on the rest of the field, to be quite honest. Only thing, beware punters, if conditions do prevail and it ends up becoming a swamp, it could be anyone's race, and Tom Kitten would probably put his hand up just to piss us off and knock them all off or something like that. But top and bottom for me, 1 and 14, 14 and 1. If we get any sort of an even surface, they look like they've got a fair margin on the rest of the field quality-wise.
Okay, punters, now is the time. If you want to hear Rainman's thoughts on the championships, then keep listening. And if you want to skip...
Do we have to listen to it?
Bets, you don't have to listen to it, guys. I'm going to drop it in post-production. That's right. There is some production that goes into this.
The disappointing thing about this is Mitho and I don't get to hear this, punters, and we don't get to take the piss out of Rain Man, but he's going to bore the fucking shit out of you for 3 minutes talking about every... He'll have eight tips in each race, and he'll probably discuss how well the clerk of the course horse looks as well.
He'll get a few winners, though.
Hello, punters. For about the 15th week in a row, the biggest diva in racing, Peter Moody, has made us change the record time of the podcast. So I'm not going to be able to make it to the record this week, but I still wanted to share my tips for what is a monster day of racing. One of my favorite days on the calendar is the championships day one. To start with, the feature race, the Doncaster Mile, a very, very open race as it is every single year. And it shouldn't come as a surprise that I want to back a number of horses in this race. I'm backing three this year in the Doncaster Mile, all at double figure odds. First horse I want to be on is Southport Tycoon, coming off the Australian Guineas win. Has drawn a little bit sticky, but we've already seen the form coming out of that Australian Guineas has been quite good, with V8 winning at Group 1 level against the older horses. Southport Tycoon is still a lightly raced horse. It still has a lot of improvement left in it, so I like it at $14. I think Lindemann is another nice each-way bet at $16 to win, $5 to place with Ladbrokes. Won the Rosehill Guineas last autumn. Won the Sky High at 2,000 metres. Now drops back to 1,600 metres for the Doncaster Mile. That's a philosophy that Chris Waller has followed with great success throughout his career. The other horse I want to back, also from the Chris Waller stable, is Kovalika. Was a bit disappointing last start, but he still found the line nicely, and I think he's got a big race in him, this horse. I've always been of the opinion that he was a genuine Group 1 talent, and at $17 to win, $5.50 to place, I'm happy to have that bet to find out. Looking forward to Moods' thoughts on Mitho's runner Lock Eagle, who's currently $101 with Ladbrokes, and I assume Moods will think that deserves another zero at the end. Then I go to race 7 now, the TJ Smith Stakes. We've got I Wish I Win in action here, one of the horses of the podcast. And I'm hoping that Moods is looking very clean shaven today, that he's ready to accept another feature race trophy, because I do think I Wish I Win is the horse to beat. No knock on Imperatrice. We know she is an absolute star, but I just think at their very best, I think I Wish I Win is the slightly superior horse. He hasn't been as consistent. He hasn't been to the well that many times, but I like the fact he's first up. And Peritrese has had she's had a tough campaign. I think Moods has pulled a bit of a masterstroke here, putting I Wish I Win into this race first up. We know the wet track will not be an issue at all if the rain does hit Sydney. I think he's a bomb-proof horse, I Wish I Win. I think he's a great bet to finish in the top three, and I think he is the horse to beat as well. One of the other group ones on the card is the English Size for the 2-year-olds. I think this is probably the most interesting addition of the size we've seen in some time, because you've got the top three from the Golden Slipper coming out and running in the size, which you do not see very often. She did the job for us in the Golden Slipper Lady of Camelot. She beat Stormboy fair and square, and she ran all the fastest closing sectionals. So I'm going to give her another go here at Lady of Camelot. I'm happy to back her at the 1400 metres. You look at her record, it's basically flawless. She should have won the Blue Diamond. She was an enormous run in that race. She did absolutely nothing wrong when she stormed home to win the Golden Slipper. She won that race fair and square, and I think she can win fair and square again in the English Size on Saturday. The final group one on the card, the Australian Derby. The favourite is Riff Rocket, who won the Victoria Derby over 2,500 metres in the spring. I'm not convinced he's an out-and-out stayer. I'm not convinced 2,400 metres will be his pet trip, but I still think he is the horse to beat here. He did run the closing fastest sectionals in the Rosehill Guineas, and I'm just not convinced this is a particularly strong crop of staying 3-year-olds. There's no real horse coming from New Zealand. Zardozi just sort of died in her run late in the Vinery Stud Stakes. I'm surprised that she has come up favourite with Ladbrokes. I think the fact that she's favourite and you're getting close to $4 for Riff Rocket with Ladbrokes, I think makes him a pretty good bet. So that's me and the four Group 1 punters. Hopefully you find plenty of winners. Hopefully we come in next week and Moods has got the TJ Smith Stakes trophy and we're celebrating another I Wish I Win victory. Have a great weekend. All the best.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including bet ticker, yard comment, and black book. Ladbrokes. What's gambling really costing you?
Okay, wake up, punters. Wake up. It's best bets time. It is best bets. Moody on the mic. I'm going to kick things off. You've heard Rayman's. I'm in a bit of a dry spell after a blistering start to the season, so I'm hoping that Mark and Levi Kamener can help dig me out of it with First Immortal in the feature race at Caulfield on Saturday, the Group 3 Easter Cup. It was thought to be a bit underdone when first up at the mile and won, and the stable obviously have higher goals over longer trips for him, and winning a Group 3 at 2,000 metres is right in his hitting zone. He's won 5 and placed once from 7 runs at 2,000, so I think he'll go bang on Saturday. That is First Immortal, Race 9 at Caulfield, number 3. You're getting about $3 at the time we record this, and I'm more than happy to take that.
Yeah, good to hear from Rayman, tipping a few winners there. I hope everyone enjoyed all that, as we did from our various parts of Australia. Lincolnshire is a very exciting horse that I'm excited to see run in Adelaide in a stakes race for the first time on debut in the listed De Quiddeville Stakes, trained by PG Moody. Has drawn the bullet, Carlene Heffel over to ride. She's $4 in your Ladbrokes market on, what are we, Wednesday evening. So bet up here, punters. I think she's pretty good. And, well, I think Moods thinks she's pretty good, which is more important than me thinking she's any good. So we're going to Morphettville, Race 5, number 7, Lincolnshire, the Star Spangled Banner 2-year-old filly to get the Chocolatos at the $4.
And nothing improves them like ownership punters, and Anthony obviously in the ownership of Lincolnshire there. She's an unraced 2-year-old maiden taking on a stakes-winning filly from the Jolly Stable, which will certainly test the mettle and test the thoughts of the owner and the trainer thinking that Lincolnshire goes all right. But listen, she's a nice filly. She's having a first trip away from home, taking on a stakes-quality filly that won and beat a Neeza, mind you, at Flemington during the Cup Carnival. So one would suggest that the form of the Jolly filly is very good, and I would imagine it's probably a short price favourite in that race, Anthony, is it?
Yeah, $2.40.
Yeah, and rightly so. So it would take a pretty big effort for an unraced 2-year-old filly to beat the Jolly filly, but we do think she's a nice filly. And while we're in Adelaide, I've also got another filly in, Fallen, in an 0-64, 1250 metres. I'm not sure what race its number is. I'm not sure if you've got it there in front of you, anyone, boys, but... just while we're talking about it, two fillies going over there. I think they'll both run very well, Fallen and Lincolnshire at Morphettville for the little boutique stables.
Actually, Moods, before you go through the rest of them, remiss of me not to mention Everly first up for Rosemont Stud and the Ladbrokes Racing Club. So we've combined, done a little combo deal there. You'll see the gatecrasher on the Ladbrokes colours. So Everly race 4, number 8, is $18 at the moment, and I'm sure she will run well. She's a little speedy thing that'll run well fresh. So sorry, forgot to mention that one, Moods.
That's in Adelaide also?
Yeah, Adelaide, yep. Race 4, yeah.
Righto, so you've got three there to keep an eye on in Adelaide with the connections to Mitho and I. You've got Everly for the Rosemont Stud Ladbrokes Racing Club. You've got Lincolnshire for Rosemont Stud and Moods, and you've got Fallen for Moods. So three fillies there give you a bit of a chance to kick off. Across the Randwick team, we've discussed most of mine. Legacies will be scratched out of the Carbine Club. She'll stay at home and run in Melbourne. Autumn Angel, she's the best filly in the Adrian Knox. Massive weight. She's got to give 6 kilos to the field. And it just indicates that they do still run handicaps in Sydney where we only run quality handicaps in Melbourne.
Righto.
So if she handles the wet, she's got a half a lap on these horses. So she should be winning race 4, the Adrian Knox Stakes, after being withdrawn from the Vinery last week. We've touched on the two runners and the TJ Smith. A few runners at Caulfield this weekend, team. Rolling across the card in the two-year-old race, we have number 4, race 1, number 4, Bisdy. Ran a nice second first start out at Pakenham. I think he'll probably need a little further than the 1,200, but an each-way hope in the 9-horse race. We skip across to... Mitho didn't mention Buse. He's got Buse there in race 3 too. Any males
I get told off when I bloody mention every runner around the country. We've also got Mullane up in Queensland.
We'll move on.
No, Buse will run well first up. His track work's been good. Trials have been good. He's a bet. I'm going to have something on Busey on Saturday.
Right. Race 4 in Melbourne. I hate to say it. Another one of Mitho's that I'm involved with. A nice filly called Moesha. She ran very well in a stakes race at Moonee Valley at a last start. She's back to 3-year-old fillies grade here, drawn the sweet gate with Linda Meach, gate 5. She worked hard from an outside barrier. I think probably my best chance of the whole weekend, race 4, number 5, Moesha. Stablemate Thargaminda, owned by yours truly. She's 2 for 2 on the provincials, can improve, can run well. And as we discussed, the 13 in that race, Fallen, will take her place in Adelaide and be withdrawn in Melbourne. We duck across to race 6, horse 2, Legacies. Filly's a mare's grade. She's got a big weight but a soft draw. Thought the jock made an error last start in not leading on her and controlling at Moonee Valley. Luke Nolan takes over there. I think she can run very well for the Rosemont Red as well. Race 6, number 2, Legacies. We've got Zeta Alive progressing from a Yarra Valley maiden to the Galilee Sires final.
Galilee Series final.
Yeah. You've got Antrim Coast. That's the horse that ran second to Orchestral in the New Zealand Derby. It's since won the Alistair Clark Stakes, and under the conditions of the set weights and penalties here, you think it'd have to win the Galilee Series final by a furlong, but we've got Zeta Alive engaged in it. He's a Zed horse. He'll appreciate the mile and a half trip. Probably not the worst each way. Skip across to race 8, number 11, Shuffle Dancer. Needs to find form, needs to find it quick, or should be retired to the broodmare barn, but probably not the worst at each way. And that nearly rounds us out, team, for the little boutique stable. We've got them in 3 states. Probably my best for the weekend is Caulfield, race number 4.
Race 4, number 5, Moesha, which is currently $6, Moots.
Well, I think that's for in a 3-year-old fillies race, 56 kilos, coming off that stakes placing last start. I think she'll be very, very hard to beat. Good luck, good punting. Hope you didn't put on too many calories over Easter. Let fast horses run fast, and let's hope we see them at Randwick on Saturday on decent conditions. Ladbrokes.